interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian climate change, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, postulated cricketism. To bring you behind the woodshed, this is the cricketude-busting episode, VTW RLM495. Each one of those little conditions is what's on us today, as I was suggesting that it would be coming, and it has. And not one of that bit have we really risen up, but there are now stirrings in the world. Maybe remind us of what people are really supposed to be doing. And it isn't up to those that are in power in any of these rule of law and democracy places. There's actually supposed to be a limit. And that limit is to be put on by you, the listener, or the non-listener, as the case may be, as we are continually seeing the problem with censorship. Sound Minds, again this week, he had his backup channel taken. There wasn't even a comment. There wasn't even a strike. And so, as I've told him before, I said, I think you're on someone's radar for being excised from existence. And to remind you all, and I'm glad to see a few people went, you'll find Sound Minds. He's now over at Sound Minds Band from YT on Odyssey, and he's over at Rumble. And so, if you could, move everybody over there. If you're not going to go to RLM, if you're not going to get the tabs and the content and just want to listen, then maybe move over to those other places and start to ban YouTube. Stop contributing to its bottom line. As I've said before, I have blocks on it. I don't even see ads. So whatever they're doing, no one's getting revenue that I know about. However, you're not going to see too many, as if I can help it, too many YouTube references in the content links. I will be searching out content elsewhere so as not to send anybody to YouTube. Again, it's time to vote with your consent, your feet, your interest. And if I put that on the broadcast, there's not seemingly much. As I was talking, writing with Sound Minds, it's interesting how we don't get the support for people that you would think would want to support the view of the truth, of the reality that's going on and what to do about it, really where to start, at least start to do something about it and stop the harms against us. And if not you directly, then someone else that you may see. As I come on here to help all y'all understand certain things, it's nothing for me. There's nothing here really for me. It's about, I see a bunch of people that are good people that need to be helped. We're thrown into a condition we think we know, and we don't. And that's only the part I see. I don't know how much more we don't know. And until we do step up, we're going to have, I don't see it stopping. I see people tend to like to go to these extremes, and we're seeing a little bit of that start again. And I guess that's okay. I would just hope that in looking at all this over all these years, that we would rise up above that tumult and be able to answer this without violence of any sort. And part of this is to rely on that black and white basis. That's what we call the law. Even by the occupier, it can be helpful, especially if that's all you have. And I've been looking to see that's really all we have. So Sound Minds, again, has been, his backup channel is gone without even a strike against it on this one. And so, we better vote with our feet here quick and more importantly, our actions. And I'm asking you again, I don't see many people doing it, but let other people know, even if it's too much for 2 hours. Remember, this is the most jam-packed minute in radio for 2 continuous hours, break free. And the point is that to be free, it's not a spectator sport. The world, if you look in history, the world is set up for people to come and take you down, to take control of you. It wasn't peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That was a hope. Really, Cain killed his brother. Stop. We got the notice. So get you behind the woodshed here. We really have to step up, support who you can, and do it persistently. Moving into last week a bit, just to touch base, because, the broadcast didn't get any problems, but there was a cough by the mainstream media talking about that Pfizer admission that they hadn't tested for transmission. I said, why would they test for transmission when they knew it wasn't an organic organism? It wasn't an organic organism at all. I told you, I'm on record. All this is on record. The vector was going to be the jab at warp speed. So why would you test for transmission when you knew that the chemical weapon would be delivered by a direct strike to the people's arms that consented? And I'm not happy about the fact necessarily, well, I'm happy at one level, but not happy that despite my warnings, so many people didn't listen or weren't given the word and were able to be feared into doing things that we hear. Now, the mainstream media, the AP of all places, posts mislead on Pfizer COVID vaccine's impact on transmission. Very interesting little statements when you start to look at this. And they claim, or the claim is, Pfizer admitted to the European Parliament that it has not tested the ability of its COVID-19 vaccine to prevent transmission of the virus before it entered the market, proving the company lied about this earlier in the pandemic. AP's assessment. Mainstream media's post-modernization Smith-Mundt Act assessment is missing context. They say that statement misses the context. Janine Small, president of the international markets at Pfizer, told the European Parliament on Monday that the Pfizer did not know whether its COVID-19 vaccine prevented transmission of the virus before it entered the market on December 2020. But Pfizer never claimed to have studied the issue before the vaccine market release. They have their fact. My fact is that has nothing to do to challenge what I said last week. They wouldn't have checked for the transmission. And this is an admission that they didn't. And this is a backup fact check that they never intended to and never did. So for my broadcast and the information I give, AP concurs with what the assessment was behind Woodshed. As we move on to find relative to more damages, which would have been avoided, I can't believe that it wouldn't have been avoided if every government jurisdiction would have just followed the communicable disease law, get that first medical report in the minimum, track it down, do the determination on a non-fraudulent exigency or infectious agent as required, and then with that one they found having that infectious agent, decide what the best mitigation, the prevention, it's in the law, the prevention was to keep it from spreading, was never done. And the reason why I think we see these harms is because it was never done. It would not even be a news article. But here we have the Australian government admitting again, offering to pay for funerals of those who die from COVID vaccines. Aren't safe, folks. And they never were tested for transmission, but the most important thing is they were admitted to not what? Right in the code, their code, even in Australia. Not prevent and control. Admitted. Been admitted. It was admitted in the data. Where, again, like last week, why is this a question at all? But they're admitting, the government will admit that if you comply with what they want you to do, you jump through the hoops, you give a proof and a death certificate, that the government will cover COVID vaccine-related deaths. Now, I don't know what they've told the coroners and medical staff in order to not let that show up on a death certificate. As you see, they've been abandoning it, but this is another outward fraud in my assessment. And they're admitting that these things are going to cause harm. And the bottom line is on you. Worldwide, folks, did you insist that the communicable disease law of your country or state or jurisdiction, your county, was complied with before you had to do a thing? Did you exercise your habeas corpus right to be free from the apprehension that they've made upon you? In the absence of all that, doesn't seem to be too complicated as to what goes on. So, Australia will pay for COVID deaths. They call it a vaccine. It's not. It can't prevent. It can't be a vaccine within that jurisdiction. So the government's lying to begin with. But they are going to pay for the death that occurs from the use of this thing, whatever its name is. Now remember, COVID-19 is not the infectious agent. It is a set of symptoms. There is no vaccine made to stop a set of symptoms. In fact, lots of them will cause those symptoms because they're invoking some immune response. Your body's trying to fight even that off. We're moving on here. What else do about payments and things? It was in the news. I'll touch this for those of you that were interested or heard about the PayPal nonsense, that PayPal was threatened to expand restrictions on speech, that they said they were going to decide what misinformation was They then got beat down pretty hard by those of all y'all that did, and thank you very much. Put these people in their place that maybe they claimed what they claimed was an error, and they didn't really mean what they said. Well, in the face of that incongruity and that essentially a fraud, there's people that are pulling their PayPal account, and I have a link for you, preparing to delete your PayPal account. Here's how, essentially, and they show you how to do all that. If you want to go ahead and do it properly, I guess there's a way, and you, in other words, get your money back before they also do anything else. And to just show these people, we may not have too much power to stop a YouTube at this point, although there is a bit of a power, but it's, are we positioned correctly to do that? But this is a direct way. You vote with your feet again. You vote by not participating. Australia's death benefit will not hit you if you're not part of that, if you're not accepting their frauds. If you listen how to read between the lines relative to the AP, you don't step into and agree that because they made that comment, Pfizer never checked transmission, so we can't expect they would have an answer, that that was the right answer that gives you the ability to think that that was okay then. We have to have a better a thought in our brain, and we have to take action. And here's an interesting little way. I've never gotten into PayPal. To me, all this was a trap. This is the track and trace stuff, and I don't know right or wrong what the answer was there, because it's really hobbled me quite a bit to not engage. But here we are today, that you can break away. I understand possibly, and I don't want to endorse this more than just to say maybe go check. I think there's something called GabPay that people were also doing. But here's how to delete your PayPal account, how to do it, how to keep your money, how to keep it back, how to not let them do this, how not to be susceptible to their future errors where they actually hit you and think they have the power to fine you for using their service over something that I've said before, and this is what the YouTube's problem is. Where no jurisdiction demonstrated a non-fraudulent exigency, there was no local decision relative to the communicable disease that YouTube or anybody else can have an opinion on to violate someone else for talking about it. There is no determination that's lawful for which an expert locally or foreign, like the WHO, not the rock group and not the owl, not the little people from Whoville, but the World Health Organization had an opinion. They have no opinion that is valid in a local jurisdiction that YT can claim anybody's making a violation within any jurisdiction upon their use of the social platform and the community policies. They're attributing to local officials what has not ever been done. That's why I call it unconscionable. And the processes they use are unconscionable. PayPal, unconscionable. Walk away. You want to talk about the walk away movement? It's time to start doing that as a more peaceful option than what I hear people wanting to, you know, yeah, I hear the pain and I want to see it ended, but I don't think it ends it if we go to the violence first. I've been saying that for years and years. That another thing that people don't like to do, but it looks like you have to do. And you'll face the resistance from the government itself. And these that are in bureaucracies that, again, to me, it's not much more than a corporate structure when you look at it, and the government and most people know this. A body politic is still a body. It's an aggregate. It can be defined as a corporation, just a political corporation. I don't get lost on the corporate side, because when you learn how to use all this, you can then put it in context that way, too, and you got two avenues instead of not denying one and then leaving yourself empty on the other, that the government has certain things to do, and they have certain measures to meet, and it's up to us to insist upon that, that if we get into a lawsuit, in particular against a very powerful organization, a bureaucracy within the government, in one of its core functions, which is to fee, fine, and tax you, the lawsuit against the illegal IRS surveillance dragnet is allowed to proceed. The IRS wasn't able to quash the lawsuit. And I want to touch back last week as well, continuing, this is the third-party liability you're going to find in this notice. Like a third-party liability through you wanting to comment to your listener or to someone that wants to donate to you, a third party like PayPal will interfere, allege something against you. In this case, you really don't have the ready due process to protect yourself. When the government comes against you, it's a little different. You do, notwithstanding the corruption inside the court, but the IRS wasn't able to quash, it's like squash, get rid of a lawsuit based in a third-party surveillance. And this is important. I was telling you about how the government agencies, somewhere they figured this out, that they thought that they could go through third parties in order to take you out, and they do, but it's not really lawful. It has a problem with it. The failure to have the IRS, who has all the power to buy the, if you will, the best attorneys on all this stuff, and has the inside presumption to enable them, their inability to quash this lawsuit, is a very powerful statement. And it just shows that it's nothing's over till it's over, but it does take somebody stepping up. Where we hear the Court of Appeals of the First Circuit reviewing the Harper at Redding case has allowed a U.S. taxpayer to proceed with their legal case against the Internal Revenue Service and sue the tax agency before federal court. And so we have here a U.S. taxpayer, that's a status. And again, it harkens back to some people that came to me and they wanted that COVID money and they said they denied. They said they were a U.S. taxpayer in order to get that money, and then they got hit with the penalties in their pensions. And people didn't realize this was a boomerang effect on their own inability to understand certain things. Again, it didn't look at the battlefield. And I'm saying, well, but if you made the claim for the status, I don't know what to say. There's nothing more to do. You ask now for the complete law to come down upon you. In this case, that's what they've done, but they said within that complete law, the IRS extended beyond what they were allowed to do. The appellate, James Harper, filed a complaint against the IRS alleging Fourth and Fifth Amendment violations because his personal financial information regarding the use of cryptocurrency was collected through a third-party summons process. Thousands of other cryptocurrency owners using crypto exchanges have also believed to be affected, is what is described as an IRS dragnet data collection operation. Harper accused the IRS of doing this without a proper subpoena, without informing those involved and giving them an opportunity to contest information harvesting done without reasonable suspicion. So we understand you have these rights, that they sit there. If you don't exercise them, the government comes along and takes advantage. This is an addition from last week, third-party liability. And where they go with this as far as where the cryptocurrency was going as a security and not a cryptocurrency as we understand, but this third-party dragnet capacity that even the FBI uses from last week and those went after safe deposit boxes in a third-party private business is the condition the government is now going to, and then they go after forfeiture and you're cut out as the possessor. In this case, it's for tax liability. And they then collect up information, and information gathering isn't necessarily part of that ability for them if they can't show, again, the reasonable suspicion. You have to know your rights. And they get to come after you. They have the first right of attack, the first strike, and then you're sitting in a back position. And so I asked then, where's your presumption of innocence? In a way, it was in the presumption was taken away when you agreed to be a U.S. taxpayer. And there was other options. So another thing moving along the third-party liability, however, you have a way to fight back. How do we fight back? This is an interesting story, although I'm not sure where it goes, but it does give us another indication. Maybe somebody in the FBI who's a good guy saw some problems, but he's not giving us new information. He's just concurring with some old, which has, I'm tempered on what I want to suggest here, but FBI whistleblower on how do average Americans can fight back. And so the average American, I don't know, I really wonder what about the average American. We're so diminished in our understanding and capacity. I see it all the time, and I'm not sure what that is. But this is not what the average American can do. This is what he can do to rely on someone else. And it may be one of the, and again, it's another port in a storm. He also suggests that you go, and this is on Rumble now, you get the video and his discussion. You also go to your sheriff to stop federal incursions that are out within his jurisdiction. And this is not a new thing, and this is not even new anywhere now new. This has been going on for a long time. In fact, I've talked to you, we've used the sheriff. We went to the sheriff in our county, the Jefferson Mining District did. He was conducive to listening. We educate him on the mining law. He then became an advocate to the limit that he did. And I would say about halfway so in the law to protect, to enforce the law, not protect us necessarily, but by enforcing the law and standing against a federal authority that had no authority where he could understand that, he was able to stop quite a few things to happen against minors. So I know this is possible, but you have to have, and the caveat is you have to have a sheriff that's willing to do that and not just give lip service to this thing like the subsequent sheriff in that same county now gives to liberty and rights in the so-called citizen. So this, what do? We turn over to the establishment a bit, and the local law authority that is sitting there to stop, be a shield between you and a foreign jurisdiction like the federal government. You'll also hear in some of these stories where all that the local sheriff seems to be able to do is just have enough people standing between you and the federal agent that wants to knock on your door. Now, I'm not saying that it should be more, but I'm saying is that you have to understand what the limitations are everywhere. As I suggested, the sheriff that did work with us went halfway, and the reason why he went halfway, because he didn't understand what he was going to walk into when he had to discuss or went to discuss this problem of the federal government with a federal prosecutor. And then that told him a whole other thing, and we found the limit of really what the limit of the local authority might be relative to what the local authority wants to stop, what challenge. Everybody's got a weakness. I don't know where it is, but there's a pushback. It's still against the law at the federal level, but there's only so much someone in an office can do. So caveat here, but an FBI whistleblower, so much as last week we were saying they're violating the law, has to be a whistleblower from the FBI was another important lesson here. Someone who is coming contrary to the normal policies of the FBI, which identifies everybody that seems to want to state they have a right as a sovereign citizen, incorrectly, the oxymoron and the incorrect application that is, and that's a terrorist now. So if someone has to be a whistleblower from the FBI, doesn't bode well for the FBI to tell you that one of your potential protections is your local sheriff. And so I want to, again, to advance there, as we're not helpless. I don't know what's going to inspire anybody to go do something to help protect themselves. It's going to take people stepping in to do all this stuff. What else can we do? We'll go maybe jump over into Europe. There may be a new inspiration coming. France is on strike. The spirit of Bastille makes Europe tremble. This is very interesting, as you've been hearing the things about what the French people have been doing, the Yellow Jackets and all that. Well, they're coming back because there's more oppression. We hear it all the time now with the excuse being Ukraine, with the excuse that it's raising prices and all this other thing, and the lack of, France has a lack of petroleum for its cars. They're having serious shortages. Again, rationing is war. And that wasn't placed by Russia on France. That was done by the United States. Anybody want to look into this? But the sector in the front row that is refinery workers this time, for weeks the petroleum stations have almost all been dry. To avoid the collapse of the system, the Macroni man government tried to injunction card, but it has boomerang. So here you have a little dynamic going on. The government can only go so far. When the natives finally get restless, they have problems. And this is where we do see, if you will, the pushback that is valid when nothing works. The strike proclaimed by the CGT was also joined by the school, the transport sector, and public workers. It looks like a reissue of Juliette Yon, but by this time, and I abused the French there very, very badly, but this time, even if the public opinion remains distant from the protest until now, the government led by Macaroni Man seems disarmed, and France looks like a powder keg ready to explode. What's the point about this? The spirit of Bastille. Well, against, and the government. We'll give you another link just to see it. The prison of the Bastille was finally taken down, and the prisoners released in France. I think it was the king then asked, is this a revolt? And the advisor said, no, it's a revolution. What was the importance about all this? I'm not going to get through the history. You can read it. It's pretty fascinating what people end up having to do. I'm disappointed in some regard. It was July 14th, 1790 in France. It's what they recognize here. What's the big importance about the spirit of Bastille and why the government may be shaking? It has to do with the natives getting restless and finally having had enough. The storming of the Bastille set in motion a chain of events that not only shaped the course of French history, but had a profound effect on the forms of government that emerged in the 19th century. Take some time to learn about the wars, treaties, and shifting borders that all arose after the French Revolution. And I highlight that amongst everything else to read for you, because listen very carefully. This sort of a revolution can change the forms of your government. But what I'm suggesting is the form of government it's changing to is already in the works and planned, and to be careful of who drives the revolution wherever you are. Because they're taking away your government at this point. And those that are in the inside, as we're going to see in another country right now, or you're watching movers and shakers just moving almost immediately. The profound impact on the forms of government that emerge. They want to modernize governments. Yeah, and they modernize them into the new agendas. Everything that we talk about here behind Woodshed and all the proofs that we can bring. But when the natives gets restless, it's a double-edged sword. And I've been asking people to go at this a lot more intelligently. I have no problem with the revolution. Make sure you know where it's going. Have control of that. And the way you do that is you start setting up the parameters before you got there. You don't work in response, just as a reaction. Reflexively is going to get you into that reflexive so-called law they keep wanting to put on us. So this is the spirit of Bastille. The government, it knows this type of native reaction can cause drastic forms in government. And I'm suggesting that that's not such a question on the side that has it organized already and has their agents everywhere. It seems impossible to believe, but their agents are really seemingly everywhere. And people are more recognizing, as I've been saying for a long time, so the laws have been set up to allow this overthrow and transformation to happen. They sit there, they get enacted into law, they just sit there, they don't work, and until some time, and someone comes to put them together. So the spirit of Bastille is a very important thing. It's a double-edged sword. The people can cause the change. I'm suggesting, though, with the dynamic to have the people have to be more aware than they get into that revolution mindset for the sake of revolution. They better have a direction that they're going, and they better have it well laid out. And that's really the hard work that maybe people don't want to hear or to do that I have been suggesting behind the Woodshed is guided by the prior, some of the prior foundational organic acts and laws, which predate the last 50 years of the interjection of foreign, and I mean not foreign, it's foreign to every nation, it's even foreign to government, because as we heard, everyone even understands the use of the word governance. It has nothing to do really with government. It has to do with bureaucracies and the implementations of rules that nobody has any control over anymore, and certainly is not, when you don't have a property, remember, when they're telling us, and I figured this out years and years ago with the mining. If they take away the acknowledgement of a property, they don't have to give you due process. Now, another form of thing that's going on, and why I'm a little concerned about this, is another type of coup is going on in these places, and pretty quickly. Amazing to watch. Liz Truss resigns as UK Prime Minister after just 44 days in office. This is like a world record. Embattled British Prime Minister Liz Truss announced she would step down from office Thursday after 44 days in office, making her the UK's shortest-serving leader ever. I'm not going to get into all of this stuff. It was an interesting dynamic. She was received by the Queen days before the Queen dies, and then after the Queen dies, doesn't anybody think it's suspicious that the son, who's now the King, who supports the agenda and worse, gets into office and she disappears. She has trouble. And what looks like the dynamic over there, and people that live there will be much more intelligent about this than I have possible to know, is that who's coming up almost as de facto controller is someone who's completely agenda globalized condition, which is the same sentiment as the King now. So I find this maybe not so surprising that we have this turnover so quickly and this tumult. And her words were saying she was going to press the agenda, which I find interesting because apparently they're going to put someone that's going to do the agenda much quicker. Brexit, I told you, was to remove the King's, and now the King's property from the collective. Once they had it removed, they can now enter in pieces and not have the King's property touched like it looked like it might have been, as I was talking years and years ago about why this was really maybe coming down. So, to me, it's very interesting. But anyway, the shortest-serving leader ever, and the one of the ways that people can get rid of their leaders, I suppose. We're coming on to, the midterms coming in here in the next few weeks. if you agree with that and believe that your election system has anything to say and isn't tampered with, then I guess that's how we do it in America. Maybe not. Maybe what we do, you know, we got revolution happening in France. We have a coup happening in Britain. What do we do in the United States? Well, in the United States, weed is coming to the Circle K gas stations in Florida next year. Gas stations appear to be a good fit for weed because they are already where lots of Americans shop for age-restricted drugs such as tobacco and alcohol. Everybody shall get stoned, folks. That's what the United States people do. And this is from a Canadian company. I didn't realize this. The Circle K is owned by a Canadian company, and they're making great strides with a local upstart here, one of the biggest, signed a deal with a global convenience store chain with Green Thumb Industries, one of the largest U.S. cannabis producers. So they're going to move them in. It's all going to be medical at this point for Florida, but they're working, this company, Green Thumb, is working throughout the country to bring in, outside of dispensaries, bring in the accessibility to weed for y'all, and to apparently, you know, what are they going to do with that? Was that going to make you more active? I don't, I've never seen that happen. But I find that's what we do in the United States. We don't stop the problems. We just go on to the next enjoyable entertainment and or sedation, I suppose. And yes, I don't have much of a high thought about that, the entertainment, the luxuries of the United States, the indulgences. When I'm watching children now being attacked, I'm watching society being attacked, I'm watching people homeless, I'm watching lies and other deceptions going on, and I see crickets. But we see this. No revolution in the United States. Not yet. I haven't seen it. I'm waiting. Even privately. Where is our protection? I responded again in the Twitter. DeSantis, it keeps coming up. I told you last week, they're exalting those that commit crime, harm people. And now he's saying, oh, now with this situation with the, kind of leading ahead a little quickly, but the shot scheduling for children, he says that's not going to happen in Florida. I responded it again today. Well, if you follow the law, you can make that permanent. It's not going to just be as long as you're in office. That's just a political statement. So if people don't start looking through this politics, this nonsense, and stop the harm against them, it's coming on them because there's essentially lots of control and lots of money, more importantly. Biden says, and this is where we shift a bit here, Biden says oil companies should ramp up production and cut prices at the pump instead of buying back stock paying dividends. I found this fascinating. Who is this president to tell a private corporation to not do something? Within the power of a corporation as required to look for the best dividends to their shareholder. Shareholder. And this becomes important when you start moving through and always understand the distinction between the shareholder and the stakeholder. Biden says, the American message to the American energy companies is this: you should not be using your profits to buy back stocks or dividends. Not now. Not while a war is raging. Biden said you should be using these record-breaking profits to increase production and refining. As all his policies are failing on the world stage. And that's quite a bit of a threat, but I got focused on while a war is raging. What war, folks? We got a war declared? Did you hear about a war that was declared? A lawful war? Is there one out there, actually? The Strategic Petroleum Reserve polls that he's doing is useless. It also depletes the United States' position in a war. That all that oil is to go to the military in a time of war. It makes no sense on the surface of it. So we always have these mixed messages. But what war are they talking about? And we can't tell because they don't reference it. But likely, it's this thing going on in Ukraine, the excuse, the self-inflicted wound that brought everybody to toe. And going to continue economically, and people are going, I can't see how they're not going to be hurt. They're already being hurt financially, just like the agenda said they would. And anybody who doesn't understand that there is no nation state before this agenda is missing a very important and crucial point about how this works. And again, if you think it's your governments that work, and even if the corporations are leading, you see there's going to be a control, and you forget to focus on the money, where that's coming from or not, or how it's been manipulated, you're missing who the major players are and maybe how you're supposed to act, how you're supposed to be out of the way. But this president coming out and going after the energy sector on a self-inflicted wound like this is pretty fascinating, and then says we're at war. Did anybody find out what that war is, actually? Did someone go to Congress and tell them, hey, we got a war going? Let's move on over to that area where there's supposed to be no war. I told you it was never really a proxy war. It was immediately an economic war. It was a direct economic hit going after Russia. I don't know what this venom is in the United States, but they don't want Russia to stand. I understand the dynamic in the world. I'm not siding necessarily with Russia. But at some point, all these nations have to live together. And at some point, when they become strong enough, they're going to resist oppression. And that's what we're watching. And it doesn't matter the words at some point. And you're going to come here to the future is not looking too good diplomatically. And that's another style of danger that I think we need to pay attention to. And what I guess I'm saying is that what they're doing, and they're moving us toward inexorably to a more obvious direct connection where the sons and daughters of Americans are going to start dying. They're already using the Ukrainian people as fodder. The United States may be very close to coming behind it. However, they want to cover that up. I'm going to revisit this condition that I couldn't get to last week. Tons and tons of things to talk about. But I want to move back into a condition because, as I told you before, what the United States does abroad, they're doing to the people locally. And so I want to continually fortify that and show us how that's the case, where the United States president turns around and goes after corporations that would be providing the energy. The first question is, why would they be providing less anyway? And to whom will they produce it when you've sanctioned the users outside the world who would have been buying? Because those countries are not living by your rule and your oppressive thumb. Let's go back a bit now, in a couple of weeks, about a very important and dangerous thing. And I want to show you, again, we're going to move into what this thing the United States does while it denies doing it, in other words, we're going to get to the point of this. They call you a terrorist, but it never considers itself a terrorist. And every evidence is it is a terrorist. And like I've told you about the Middle East, it creates all these terrorist groups and supports them. And I'm telling you that you should look at your home now and see the reflection. They're setting up their agencies and the dynamic of the government to make you an enemy, and now fulfilling the 9/11, where everybody was an enemy combatant, and making and empowering their agencies to attack you. And then you look, if they're not following the law, and a lot of this is in politics, how they do this, that's terrorism. When they try to interfere with your body politic, that's a terrorism. But the terrorists will deny that. And I want to go through and show the world recognizes what's going on as a terroristic act. So we go back to the blast of the Crimea Bridge and a key supply route of Russia's war in Ukraine. But again, it's a dismissive of what Russia's telling you, telling everybody, and the reasons it's a war. Well, it's war from the United States standpoint. Russia's attempting to do some corrections and do some protections. And I'm not here to debate the propriety of all that. I'm just saying that's what they're doing. As I've said before, once I was remiss to understand something, it took me a week to figure it out, and I came back the next week, I said, you better put a lot of stock in what Russia's saying. They're not messing around, and they're done. Enough is enough for them. And we could use that. Americans want to revive revolution. We could use what they're doing from Russia to correlate to what we need to be doing here. They form the basis for their room. They don't care what anybody's saying now. They're going to now execute upon what they figured the plan was and whom and what the threat was. Americans are supposed to be the beacon of freedom and the staunch libertarians, if you will, that they are, have not done any of this. It's something I've been advocating for years. But an explosion caused a partial collapse of the bridge linking the Crimean Peninsula with Russia on Saturday, damaging a key supply artery from the Kremlin's faltering war effort in southern Ukraine. Russian authorities said a truck bomb caused the blast and 3 people were killed. And so we are given the first notice that somebody on Putin's birthday, or right one day late, I don't know if they did that right quite right, Yeah, it was a day after Putin's birthday. So these are showing they're intended that they blew, somebody blew up this bridge. And it took a day or two to figure out, get more news about this. I want us to focus that a truck bomb is not hard to consider to be a terrorist act, especially on a civilian supply artery. Now, it would be argued that it was also used for the military, but there was not supposed to be a war on NATO against Russia for it to be a bother. But a truck bomb is a terrorist act, a terrorist type function. Very interesting attack. There was also an attack, a digital attack, on the train that was operating, and the train got stalled right in there where that truck bomb, they say only truck bomb, went off. Well, subsequently, a report's been done and explained it wasn't just a truck bomb. There's a whole lot more behind this. Again, who could be doing this? Who are the players? I still am astonished at Russia allowing certain things to happen to them. I mean, in a war sense, I said, well, why aren't you checking for this stuff? Where's your protection, your security? Whatever's going on was able to cut through all that, whatever there is, and we find later there is some checks. And whatever, whoever planned this was able to get through this to do a truck bomb. Again, a terrorist act. The train was filled with flammables, and it becomes part of the problem. Interestingly, though, it doesn't really blow up. The tanks are made specially so that when they have that happen to them, they didn't blow up. And Russia was able to handle it. They weren't even down maybe 24 hours, and they were already getting things fixed. And this becomes the other point. All this is fixable, if you will. We're just looking at annoyances to Russia. And those annoyances will cause an escalation from Russia that we should expect to see. And in this case, it does. My first indication was because they're talking about, again, referencing terrorism and the ISIS type thing here. Who did they get to drive that truck with such a fervent, religious belief, if you will, to drive that truck and blow themselves up? Because if it's raised up to a religious war here, we're in a different ballgame. So I was very interested to be able to qualify that. The other side of that is somebody was told to get in a truck and drove that truck across and didn't know that they were going to be blown up. And this becomes the more sinister part of all this. Because what I keep telling you, if the government's willing to do this to people, if you can identify the government's willing to do this to people, they're going to do it to you. I'm pausing. You understand what we're saying here. If we can identify that something has happened, and somebody was induced to drive that truck and was blown up, and it was a plan to blow it up, whoever allowed that to happen, whatever government did it, is willing to sacrifice people and do it by deception. And they don't care about that one. If they don't care about that one, they likely don't care about lots of others. Moving through this idea, in the discussions around that, the Kremlin says, we can say NATO fights in Ukraine after Stoltenberg's statement. Removing now the doubt and exposing diplomatic words means something. It used to be, and this is the thing I was always fascinated by, the diplomat statesmanship. It was very important what you said and what you didn't say. And I've been saying this over years. It's very important to make sure your words are accurate. And things can be implied from what you said or deduced from it. And this NATO Secretary General, while this stuff is going on, makes a comment that includes NATO. What Russia's doing would defeat Ukraine. And Russians don't take light to that and dismiss it. Because NATO was included with a destruction to NATO relative to Ukraine, Russians understand, or Russia, Putin, the government understands, NATO's involved. And so now we're moving this whole thing, this whole idea back into Russia understands NATO is directly involved. However, we want to hear the news to us that we're not. With people that we may be finding will deceive others and kill them to advance what they think is a military objective. Maybe at warp speed, folks. Another story, another official NATO admitted it's at war with Russia. This is not the United States now. This is NATO. Because of an inclusion of an effect that NATO is not supposed to be involved with, Russia understands NATO is involved a lot more than we're being told. And I'm bringing this out because this is an understanding about the attack on the bridge. If NATO is involved, we can now look out and say, maybe there's more to this. We also understood before that there's been a plan. It didn't execute exactly the way they said, but pretty close of what British intelligence was creating in attacking that bridge. The interesting thing I took away from that attack was that the bomb did take out two sections, but it didn't take out the trestles and it didn't take out the train. Yes, there was some damage, but it didn't take it down. That's a strong bridge. Impliedly, Russia kind of came away pretty good, and it gave them a power that they didn't have before. And this is where we start to see the failure of the planning on NATO's side. It could be, and NATO includes the United States implicitly, has to be, that we're looking at a terrorist attack, as I want to keep now move our focus, and now Russia is acknowledging by the words of NATO that NATO's involved. No matter what we hear, no matter what the government say, NATO says, they are involved. Now we can start to see evidence of these hostilities between each other. So I want to move back one more step. We got the bridge, but we also had that pipeline. This came out. I wanted to know, well, what about this pipeline? What was the damage to it? They're making it a question like Russia did its own thing. I noticed lots of people were looking at these images that we're going to speak to and saying, well, it was a blowout. Well, there was that pipeline is under pressure, even though it's not running, but that's not the point. Is that it did blow up. Russia has the valve. They don't have to blow up their own infrastructure. And there's all this other evidence we talked about before. But extraordinary first images emerge of mangled Nord Stream. 165 feet of blown up Baltic Sea gas pipe is either missing or buried under the seabed after it was attacked with extreme force. Missing or buried. They don't know what. A big fissure in the ground relative to this explosion. What I noticed was, and I'm not a demolition expert or anything, but I noticed one of the images of the pipe was it was as if someone took a grinder cutter and cut the flat face to that pipe. And I don't know if that's the end of a pipe or if that was a sheared by an explosive cord. That showed this is not just an explosion to me, from the pipeline misoperation. And this thing was so huge, that it disappeared part of the pipe. Doesn't sound like a natural explosion to me, anyway. But what about this pipe and the explosion, and what are they doing? They're looking at it, and the countries that are around there are looking at this pipe, and more showing of hostility and tension. Unspoken. In the news that Russia's picking up on. Sweden refuses to share results of Nord Stream pipeline explosion investigation with Russia. My thought there, just generally, if you're peace on earth, goodwill amongst men, and we try to keep people warm in Europe and all this, you think Sweden would help? You think they'd say, okay, here's what we got, here's what we found, here's how you can work with it or not, whatever, how they're going to do this. And I found out some more information about whether or not they can do that repair. No matter how big it is. Very interesting. But Sweden refusing to share a preliminary result of an official investigation in Nord Stream pipeline explosion with Russia, asserting that the information is confidential. Why would it be confidential? It's just a pipeline that blew up, that Russia blew up. Russia knows about this then. It's not confidential to Russia if Russia did it. They would be coming out and saying, here, we got proof Russia done it. And they're not. But no, NATO is holding back this information. And this is not about a pipeline. The investigation found the blasts were an act of sabotage, although the culprit was not named. Sabotage. Terrorism. You're getting rid of people's energy. You're trying to kill them. It's not Russia. Russia has all the gold. Yeah, the gold and the minerals that they need. They have all the oil they need. They're trying to find a place to sell it. And they're finding other places to sell it. It's just not going to Europe. Because the United States is focused on getting all those distillates we don't have that Biden's complaining about. It's going over there to try and keep up with the need, which they're not in some aspects. In fact, I understand for the United States, diesel is going to be a scarier thing for us as they start offloading a lot of this, these refined materials. This is, is it new that energy companies gain massive profits when there's term oil? As I say, what is the price of a barrel of term oil? What's the real cost? But Sweden will not give their findings to Russia. Again, I don't need to know too much more, as the Russians will accept the NATO's general statement says that NATO's involved, Sweden's involved in this. And it can only be confidential to the terrorist, the bomber, that took out a pipeline in, I think it's two spots, no less, to stop a transit of what would be commerce and energy, not a war. Something that Germany could have just shut the spigot off, just shut their side. They could just shut their side, too. They have a valve, too. I hope people pick that up. To show you that this is not an attack. They want to go after Russia, but there's a bigger play going on. And the United States doesn't care about doing terrorist acts, deceiving people to cause them harm, to hurt other people. Again, the third party principle that the United States seems to be wielding anymore. Don't forget statescraft anymore. We just become a big terrorist group. And it's, that's not even news either now. But what we do, what do we do about that? And here, for us, the Americans, what do we do about that now? Do we go now to Circle K next year and smoke our weed so everyone must get stoned? Or do we realize that this same beast is hurting everyone and we need to kind of think about how we're going to deal with that? Not think too long either. So within the context of this destruction that Sweden calls now their investigation confidential, not giving it to the one that was blamed for its own harm, causing its own harm, Russia, to its own pipeline. I've still been questioning whether or not, but what does it take to fix these things? 165 feet, that's quite a bit of blast, don't you think? That's not just a gas blowout. I've never heard one that quite that big. In fact, I found no study, no prior event that was that catastrophic. And yet, I did find and encouraged a bit that these pipeline damages do occur, and routinely, a lot more than I thought. I found a little website, Scientific American, to tell us frequent breaks in undersea pipelines means fixes are possible for Nord Stream. So not only was I in error the first time to say, well, I don't know if they're going to replace this and it's going to be difficult, because I mean, you think something is submerged in water, salt water, it's going to cause trouble, was really my first thought. Apparently, this happens all the time, folks. This wasn't, except for the nature of it, this wasn't even an absurdity. This wasn't even an unknown. This happens apparently all the time. And those pipelines are made so they can be fixed. And they have been. And they are routinely fixed. They break. They get drug out by anchors. They get run down. They get, well, I guess they get terroristically bombed too. But they're made to be fixed. And in fact, the submersion in the salt water is not a problem. They have techniques to clear that out and recoat the pipes and then put them back in into function, into use. And it actually comes pretty quickly. I'm almost surprised that Russia hasn't stepped right up, but that means that may be indicative of something else. When Russia's companies, or the companies that put the pipeline in for the countries, they were essentially threatened. And where Sweden won't give that information because it's confidential, and NATO says they're at war, the companies to rebuild that pipeline may have a different complexion of a problem relative to that threat. So we're watching the NATO, the Russian United States, threaten other people into not being able to fix what they could normally fix, or it takes time. This thing could be fixed in months, actually. It depends, apparently, on the equipment that's available. And what I'm reading by this story here this report is that the equipment, Russia does have equipment. The problem is that equipment also gets threatened when it goes to do something. And so this becomes more of a military operation. Again, the war, the unstated war that I've told you was an economic war, started directly, not proxy, directly upon Russia, utilizing Ukraine as fodder, and really partly to also destroy Europe as any kind of an economic power and promote the agenda, which allows unheard of profits to corporations who now have to be told by a president, don't take those profits to your shareholder. Give them into the distillates that we need as a terrorist corporate government to go sell to another oppressed people we've just created. Don't set off that value into your shareholders. Invest in more refinement so that we at home don't get our natives restless. So there's a way that it's planned into the system. These pipelines go all, I didn't realize how much they actually are taken out. And they're being repaired all the time. Undersea, 120 feet, 160 feet, farther down. Pretty neat. They have all the tools. In fact, this one in Nord Stream was kind of some special ones as well, but they are all held by Russia. Another thing that means these are temporary failures for Russia. And likely why we saw a purported alternative of supply coming out of Poland. And then we started hearing about all the noise coming out of Africa. Now, Africa becomes another player, understanding that the United States and France, as they pulled out of Mali, have been controlling those with the same type of, the United States is controlling those countries in Africa with the same type of oppressive so-called diplomacy. And Russia and China have learned not to do it that way. And we're watching the shift. But in the meantime, those that are still under control are now becoming suppliers of the things that Europe's going to need as they become oppressed by the United States using terrorist tactics. We see an interesting thing relative to who's in control, potentially, also, in the acknowledgement by Russia that Stoltenberg said NATO will be affected if Ukraine goes down. NATO should not be affected. Ukraine's not a NATO country. The United States has zero interest in that regard. Russia has every interest to keep that a neutral place, as was agreed to way back when, as we've talked behind the woodshed. But we see a little glimpse of a potential control in this report here. Kiev, Washington reportedly at odds over Ukraine's response to Russia's special operations. Now, this is out of Sputnik, so you see it's not declared to be a war there, but I found fascinating the title here, that Washington and Kiev are at odds. Now, if United States of America wasn't actually interested, Kiev wouldn't be at odds with the United States. The United States wouldn't have an opinion. And if you don't think Russia's not picking up on this, and I'm, again, the point is that Russia's feeling a pressure, they're going to start to protect themselves, whether they're telling us anything. And we're going to hear how that's developing. And it's going to reflect what the United States does, what Biden says, too, as we come into this. United States of America and Kiev at odds means the United States has some influence, if not a lot, if not all of it. In fact, they're footing the bill, aren't they? That's where people get the proxy side of this. But the economic attack already happened directly against Russia. And it happens directly when the pipelines are blown up, even if you can't tell who blew them up. Well, we have the circumstantial evidence. Did they use charge cords that cut that pipe? It was so strong they cut that pipe clean almost. The tops were cleanly cut. I couldn't have done better with a grinder on a piece of metal. Straight through. Really kind of neat looking. And yet, there's technology to fix all that. So the harms are temporary. But they're done terroristically. So I want to focus. Kiev and Washington at odds. If Washington had no real interest, there would be no odds. Russia's picking up on that. So let's move back to this bridge. And the odds, I don't know what the odds would be. Maybe not terroristic enough, they allowed what appears to be a bomb, IED and a truck bomb, to blow up that bridge, they claim. But we have evidence of sorts that British spies, if you will, plotted it. We get this from the Gray Zone. The secret British intelligence plot to blow up Crimea's Kerch Bridge is revealed in internal documents and correspondence obtained exclusively by the Gray Zone. And they go through and they explain how this was a plan that was done by Howard Ward, a British military veteran, and setting up how to go about doing attacking this bridge in a war footing upon a war scenario in order to hurt Russia, pre-existing the actual operation itself. Comes the explosion, we get some video, very interesting stuff, and then we start to see people watching, trying to identify, characterize this thing as the terrorist act that it appears to be. Again, we're not dealing in a normal war. We're not dealing in a normal condition. The United States leads with terrorism. The United States terrorizes its population, the Carnival Mirror Reflection. Every so-called supposed emergency we've had since 9/11 and since is based in fear, intimidation, and dread, which is the definition of terrorism. Not the congressional definition and statute. It's the legitimate, on the ground, what people are interested in, what happens to them, terrorism. And as a people, we don't stop them. But West has now set a course on total terroristic warfare, referencing the Crimea Bridge being blown up. In the neat video, I guess neat, you get to see it. What I got interested in, you got to see that it doesn't destroy the infrastructure. It was well built. And I don't understand how Russia's not taking credit for that, as they looked at this and realized the power it gave them to be attacked that way, and in such an insidious type of way. Relative to the operation to execute what the British intelligence officer had created, this truck was driven to a certain spot, happened to correlate with a train that was disabled by digital control. And the bomb going off, 22 pallets were told in another story coming here, 22 pallets inside that truck. However, what wasn't understood, which was found later, apparently there was also more 450 kilograms of explosives underneath the truck. We're dealing in modes of terrorism now. The West is not above it. There's not even a question here. I want to kind of hit this hard because I think we're being terrorized around the world. I think the United States of America, the people, are terrorized. And I think that's put them into some submission. And that cannot go good for us. If we're going to be a beacon, an example to the world, our people are going to have to stand up, maybe even more greatly than the revolution, the threat of the spirit of Bastille. But I've been really interested because of the connotation of terrorism in the world now. It has to do with Muslim fanaticism, if you will, a religious reason. People blowing themselves up because Allah told them it was right. And I've been intrigued to wonder, are the Ukrainians that tied to their Nazi right sector stuff that they believe in a religion? Because if they are, we're into a different ballgame. And we might be able to, we might be there, but I don't know. I was able to see, and thank you to Pepe Escobar in what his research does. He was able to discern and get from Russian intelligence more of the story. That in fact, it wasn't a religious fervor that caused someone to drive a truck loaded with explosives onto a bridge and detonate it right at the right point they were supposed to. But it happened to be someone through the lineage of how they got this truck through different borders, how they got it loaded, how they were to somehow evade the X-ray machines that were to look at the cargoes, which raises the intelligence needed to do that, the knowledge needed to do that. Very, very, this is state actor stuff. And I think way beyond maybe even what Ukraine has available. they were able to get this truck loaded and through and onto that bridge and exploded. And my question was that guy that got the truck, did he do it, the guy, the driver, or was he done dirt? Because that's going to point out something about the governments that are in there and what they're willing to do to people to push an agenda. If they'll do it to one, they'll do it to everyone. The driver, Pepe Escobar writes, the driver of the first truck is already testifying. Yusufov, the driver of the second truck, who was handed the truck as loaded, which exploded on the bridge, was blind. He had no idea what he was carrying, and he's dead. Explains that what appears to be an ISIS-style attack, which the United States does, it created ISIS and things back over in the Middle East, a suicide bombing, in fact, was not at all. And this poor soul was told to get in a truck and drive it over a bridge, and the rest of it was set up for him. And little did he know, his days were numbered and his life would be spread all over creation and into the hereafter. But there was actually more explosives on that bridge. Somehow they got put there too. I'm blown away that they got this pulled off. I guess if you're looking at a military operation, you got to give credit where credit's due. They got that far. But this was a terrorist act, and they were willing to, and they did kill somebody in executing this whole point. And the problem now is we're in a group of nations that agree to terrorism and acts of terrorism. Civilians don't mean anything. That now harkens back to what Ukraine's doing. Again, we're talking about credibility. We can't believe anything now that starts to come out of the West's mouth. As I've been saying, you're probably going to have to watch out for. But this starts to change the complexion of what's going on in Ukraine. And it starts to raise the problems that we people looking in might want to consider. And what this did, these explosions, these, like, they killed, I think the references here of the three, what he calls the perfect red line trifecta, he mentions of the three was the killing of Daria Dugina, the philosopher's daughter, who the attack was supposed to kill her father, and then blowing up the Nord Stream, and then the bridge. As the trifecta that gives Russia, we're looking at a war scenario and public opinion, and what it did for their people, if we're looking to shut them down, morally dispose them, it gave Russia the power. This is these attacks. They only hurt them temporarily, except for certainly Daria. Her life is ended. The physical infrastructure can be repaired. And Russia takes this empowerment and then turns around and does, as Pepe Escobar describes, a shock and awe campaign we saw just right after. That starts to take out now, Russia gives license to go ahead and take out militarily connected civilian infrastructure. It shows it can pull it off. And what changed? It gave them the power, I was talking last week, how Putin didn't have the power. He had to get the people of his country to agree with him. And he did do that. And then the bridge blows up. And the people completely supported him. And he then immediately turns over and hands singular control and command to someone, reflective of what the United States president said about Armageddon, invoking the Kennedy's ghost. And they're now handing a unified military command over to one guy, Army General Sergei Surovikin, who is understood to be the inter-commander Armageddon. He's identified, and while he operates as General Armageddon, he's a no-nonsense guy. He's unorthodox in how he takes stuff out. He's proven himself in Syria. Now, I don't know what the extent of Syria's relationship is, but we saw him turn that place around pretty quick, even though it's still ongoing. And these attacks that the West did underneath the cover of, oh, we're only sending money, and Ukraine's a democracy, while it's destroying Europe, has empowered Russia, that if I was looking at this as an army, I'd be embarrassed if I was an army leader on the other side. You've now invoked what Biden couldn't do, the ghost of Kennedy and nuclear Armageddon, and handed to the other side the literal man that does that to an enemy. Cannot be, well, maybe it's the euphemism called military intelligence on the side of the West. That this starts to bring up the temperature. Because the United States, I don't know where it's coming from, but the United States has got this thing that it's going to get done. It's going to teach somebody something. And this is not going to diminish. As I'm looking around, I'm just wondering how close we are. I'm not so sure again about the nuclear. They're gonna banter that around, but they're moving. We'll get to the point. They're getting some troops moving here soon from the United States. Upon the silence that's being done, even though Russia finds out that NATO is involved, because NATO becomes interested, if Ukraine loses, NATO loses, means that they're integrated already. And I don't know how they couldn't be, given the economic attack and then the monetary support. That there is a humiliation potential coming here, and it's kind of like, you don't back countries into a corner. That to save face, the West may get a little bit more aggressive in its terrorism. That it's shown its evidence, its to-do. And now it's met up with someone known to be General Armageddon. That these stories coming out of the West try to get the favor that Putin got from the people of his country, that Biden is trying to influence here, that the NATO is trying to do in Europe, has to have more propaganda. We have to see how bad Russia is. While we fail to look at the terroristic act of using a truck bomb to under color of a suicide bomb on an innocent driver, to blow him to smithereens, to take out a bridge that could be replaced, is not, to my mind, really clear military thinking. That again reflects what's happened in the last few years in the United States at warp speed, which is the imposition of this foreign order that has no real basis, that works in fear, intimidation, and dread constantly. That they have to show or try to get you to believe more horror stories to justify their terrorism. And we hear this story, the gold teeth, in quotes, gold teeth Ukraine recovered from Russian mini Auschwitz torture chamber were actually from a village dentist. How trivial it sounds, this stuff is, but what it does in people when it's not understood, when the story rolls out that this was gold teeth from Ukrainians. And the depth of the psychological attack that's going on to justify a terrorism by NATO. Again, NATO sounds like it's not the United States, but the United States is part and partial to NATO. In fact, when, as I did the reports, Biden shows up to do a NATO meeting, he's like the only thing that they have to listen to. Every other body sits in there and listens to what Biden has to say. Is not a disinterested country. Is not somebody that would have an opinion against Kiev if all they were doing was helping Kiev do Kiev. No, we hear this propaganda and invoking the horrors of the past, which were also stories we're finding. Not to the level, not to the fact. And we see how far back the perpetuation of terror is. Putting in the minds of people that don't know, ignorant of certain things, certain ideas, and how easy it is to persuade populations to essentially commit suicide. Handing the power that should be in the people, as we hear in the United States, to those that run it without actual authority. And we, as people, stay silent. Where countries like Russia can't. And I've said we need to take example from that. Like the spirit of Bastille would be an example of how people are going to have to rise up when their systems fail. We also have to understand the limitation of that revolution, so-called, because unless we have control of where that direction is going to go, it will be taken down the path that those that created the revolution that were actually in control of that, starting fomenting that revolution, needed it to go. Not much different than I'm thinking. I'm seeing the new king steps in, who is completely agenda globalization driven, and the interim PM gets kicked out about that quick to put in somebody de facto that's even more aggressive. So the analysis on the other side, if I'm saying that terrorism is being done by the NATO and they're not above it, and I understand about, I mean, that's just what sometimes happens in war. I'm not going to be naive to that, but this is almost exclusively what's going on the West. Well, what do we do? What's the analysis for Russia? And there is an analysis. And this is supposed by a U.S. intelligence officer who I believe may be another type of whistleblower. I'm not too sure about this stuff and these people, but we'll take a little bit of here. An analysis was done. Is Russia doing terrorism? Well, no. Every Russian target struck after the West gave it license to attack this militarily connected infrastructure, destroying massive amounts of power and supplies and rail stations and all this that Russia did right after that bridge got attacked. Every Russia target struck is legitimate under laws of war, ex-U.S. intel officer says. So whether or not Russia wants to say this is a special operation, under the laws of war, there would have been a legitimate attack, as we're told that Russia is causing havoc in Ukraine, and it's now taking away the civilian capacity. Well, NATO handed that to Russia. On October 10th, Russia carried out strikes using precision-guided weapons against Ukrainian infrastructure used for military supplies and connectivity in response to the crimes committed by Kiev against Russian civilian infrastructure, President Vladimir Putin told Russia's Security Council. In an interview with Sputnik, Scott Ritter, a military analyst and former U.S. Marine Corps intelligence officer who served with Persian Gulf during Operation Desert Storm in Iraq, expressed his opinion concerning Russia's recent strikes on Ukraine, Kiev's shelling of Donbass, and the West pumping weapons into the country. And you can get the link, you can read it. Again, looking at law of war and international law, Russia attacked strategically and legitimately under the law of war, which is like an oxymoron, but they are not just indiscriminately hitting groups. They're not telling someone to jump in a truck, an innocent man, jump in a truck and go drive across that bridge. They're not taking out the civilian infrastructure to get to and from. They're not destroying or trying to destroy a train which delivered goods to that city, that was Crimea. Many cities, I suppose. Millions of people supplied. So, the analysis here by an intelligence officer is, in war, Russia has struck what they ought to have struck. In other words, they're not, and continuing to be, and I've told you to watch this, he's going to be very careful about what Russia looks like when they do this. And at this point, it's hard, and I can't find any evidence, notwithstanding propaganda to the contrary in the West, that Russia's being that indiscriminate at all. They're not being a terrorist. We may not like what they're doing. We may not understand what they're doing. We may not be able to have an opinion on what they're doing, but it just doesn't look good, like all of it. War is just not good. special operations that kill people just ain't looking good. But Russia is not a terrorist. Now, the White House unveils a new security strategy. Now, to continue this thread, the United States is a thug, and we just should watch, indeed, what they do. The document enshrines the current relations between the United States and Russia and China policy. The White House released the first national security strategy of Joe Biden's presidency, replacing an interim version adopted in March 2021. Presenting the document Wednesday, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan described the decisive decade to come embodying two fundamental changes competing to shape the future of the international order and addressing the transnational challenges like terrorism, climate change, and pandemics. Now, what the United States military has to do with climate change and pandemics, oh, folks, warp speed, remember, tells you that the terrorism they're talking about is their own. What this new policy so-called is it's our way in the international sphere or the highway, which will truck bomb it and will blow it up. Does not bode well as we move forward through this administration. The so-called new security strategy is the old security strategy of terrorism. Under the cause of something that's fraud and something that's fraud, climate change and pandemics. If you don't understand what I've been talking about this agenda being already domesticated and already in place, and your military is involved, well, maybe you should have been listening a little bit closer. You shouldn't deny what I've been saying, because this is our existential threat is the government. What's happening in France to invoke in the government the fear, intimidation, and dread that the natives are getting restless in the spirit of Bastille had better get a grip in the United States and Kanukistan and everywhere else. The rule of law and democracy has been negating its duties to ensure justice, had better step up and better start taking care of business. I've been advocating just don't do it ad hoc. Just don't do it with action. Do it preparatory. Watch how Russia did theirs. They said exactly how they were going to do it. I didn't appreciate it the first week. The second week I got it, and they explained exactly how this thing was going to go on a particular purpose. And that became their written plan that you can take to the bank. And they do it within the context of the oxymoron law of war. They're doing it relative to that standard, not as an asymmetric terrorist under color of a suicide bomber. I really can't even imagine that guy driving that truck. Can you imagine? Maybe it was a woman, but we find out it's a guy. Driving that truck over a bridge, thinking he's delivering goods to Crimea, and then he sees the bright white light. And he's not a moth. And that was done by NATO. I don't know where else to say about that. Russia did not blow up their own bridge. But the White House unveils a new security strategy, which is our way or the highway. And I'm telling you, they're walking into a world that's done with that. The White House also says, after issuing this policy, the risk of U.S. NATO being drawn into Ukraine conflict high right now. Russia already recognizes it's already happened. But this is coming from the White House. Risks of U.S. NATO being drawn into Ukraine conflict high right now is a prediction of a self-inflictable wound. The United States and NATO is, if they haven't gone in, if Russia is incorrect, they are in determination of whether or not they're drawn in. That's not a risk. That's a choice. This is beating the drum to justification that they cannot make. The risks that the United States and NATO will be drawn into a Russian-Ukrainian conflict are high right now, White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby said in an interview with CNN. The risks are high now. I mean, there's no question about that, Kirby said on Wednesday when asked how high the risk of the United States and NATO will be drawn into the conflict. Kirby said the United States will continue to provide the kinds of capabilities it needs to succeed on the battlefield. Does that include men and women from the United States on something that the United States has no, and NATO has no interest in? The risk of the United States and NATO being drawn into Ukraine conflict are high right now because the United States wants to be drawn in. This is not a question. This is not like, oh, they got a rope around their neck being dragged in by some machine that just drags in and slowly grinds them in. No. This is the risk that they're deciding to take. This is the choice that they're deciding to take, implying that they're not involved now. But again, for you and me, it's not what the United States says, it's what Russia believes. And Russia believes they can put their whole command in General Armageddon and have him deal with it. The difference between Biden's Armageddon and Russia's Armageddon is there's a general named general known to be General Armageddon who actually does something, while Biden just speaks and talks on the support of ghosts. And I don't know that your young men and women in the United States should put much faith in that. And I think I got this next story that says things are now moving. I think I got this from Gary L. A little bit difficult to find. I hope you can get the translation. I think Gary L. said the pieces are moving. Story out of Slovenia. That Slovenia territory is going to be affected, and for their people over there to be cognizant of the traffic jams that are going to happen as the United States moves equipment from the United States. On the basis of a partnership with the Republic of the United States, the purpose of which is the provision of the bilateral security, the United States Army at the port of Koper, adopted and interpreted by approximately 850 pieces of equipment assigned to the Brigade of the Logistics to ensure the 101, the division of the base of the Fort Campbell in Kentucky, was deployed in support of U.S. forces in Europe and NATO allies in response to the crisis in Ukraine. We're having people, men and women, from Fort Campbell, Kentucky, moving through Slovenia to go aid the problem in Ukraine. 850 pieces of equipment on top of that. On a country that just strategically said, it's our way or the highway, who denies being a terrorist, who operates through terrorism. And we're not talking just this war. 9/11 gave us the indeed, folks. I'm kind of getting quiet here. These actions, indeed, are telegraphing quite a bit of problems. Whether or not we go to the full-blown war, I don't know. The problem becomes, though, in this next story, as the United States denies, but keeps acting in terroristic fashions. When Russia responds, and then they say this, the future becomes a very dark place. When enemies stop talking, I look in history, when enemies stop talking, it doesn't go well. Russia sees no point in maintaining current diplomatic presence in the United States. Russia sees no point in maintaining current diplomatic presence in the United States. It was something that kind of sent a chill down me, given what I said, you should be careful of what. Give credit to Putin. Give credit to Russia. It means what it says. But when they're pulling back like this, and they see no point, they also will not take any more talk from the West. With 850 pieces of equipment coming from Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And I don't think that's going to be the limit. The buildup becomes very disturbing. The United States men and women may very well be on the edge of a war that's needed by the United States to maintain its power economically in the world because of the fraud it's put all over the globe. And to what? War is how this works. When your economy is going down the tanks, you always have a war. So the pickup sticks here are getting less and less to be able to move, that the game is going to be lost. What game is that? The experiment called being free. Free from tyranny. None of this, if you listen to what I've been saying here, none of this has any justification on the United States side. That's another type of fraud. The military agrees in having its sphere of influence through climate change and pandemics. As I've been telling you, this is a military operation. All those are frauds. How the population of the United States, half of it agrees with these frauds and just be quiet, and the rest don't act when they do, has really been an interesting eyeball on things for me. I thought maybe we were a little bit more responsive, but we're not. We don't even have the spirit of Bastille in us, it seems. No, we're going to go down to Circle K next year. But Russia says Lavrov says there is neither point nor desire, which is where I got the chills. They are done with this, folks. Enough is enough. General Armageddon, do your stuff. They're not talking nuclear war, folks. They're talking nuclear response to what NATO's doing to a nuclear threat they are making. There is neither point nor desire to maintain the current presence in Western countries. Our people are working under circumstances which could be hardly considered human. They are faced with constant problems and threatened with physical violence. What is the most important is that there is no work to do there since Europe decided to shut off from us and stop any economic cooperation. What did I tell you? Direct economic attack. That's exactly the point that he's talking about here. There's nothing further. If we don't have business to do, we're done. That was the last peaceful connection that we could do. And every time I've seen a country do this, does not bode well for a future of peace. As the narratives that the United States military builds up, climate change and pandemic, what authority does the War Department have to do with those two in their new strategy of it's our way or the highway? Propaganda that comes down in this country to continue to try and get favor of the population for its terroristic views and acts, negated almost at every turn, it seems. While all this is going on, while the United States tried to blame Russia, the U.S. jury acquits Danchenko of all charges of lying to the FBI during the Trump-Russia collusion probe. This is the story about Carter Page, where the FBI went after him illicitly. They used the FISA court to do so, and I think the FISA court allows itself to be useful. This case, which exposed some things for Carter Page, the jury found him not guilty of what the government was trying to prosecute him for, and it's such an embarrassment, the prosecutor of these cases is such an embarrassment, they actually might have to back off on all of this stuff. The waste of time that all of this was, the media promoting this as a Trump-Russia collusion to foment to build support in the United States population to support what we see today in NATO being terroristic and United States at odds with what Kiev wants, which should have been no interest whatsoever. Except the dangling chads that somehow climate change is involved in pandemics. And then Ukraine had all those biowarfare labs, right? Folks, keep the connections. It's all here connected. There's a lot more going on than meets the eye. More fraud. More bad information. More lack of jurisdiction. More terrorism. If they're going to do it to an innocent guy driving a truck in Crimea, they're going to do it to your little ones. They're going to do it to you here at home. And that's here at home, wherever you are. That'd be the United States. And I don't even know what my mind is tamping down right now, so I keep my cool. But this is the harm we wrought by being silent. The CDC will vote Thursday to permanently shield Pfizer and Moderna from COVID vaccine injury liability was the first heads up I have that they were going to make this decision. It was coming at that time, 2 days or so before the CDC committee would convene on Thursday, which has passed, to deliver a permanent legal indemnity to the Pfizer and Moderna through the process of adding the drug company's mRNA injections to the child and adolescent immunization schedule. It's added to the schedule for what? Exactly what this statement says, to indemnify those companies from liability for vaccines, because once those things are deemed vaccines, but they're not, are put on the schedule, they are given liability protection. You then have to go to the United States government to get your money. And what they did there is that they assess an excise tax on top of the vaccine, so-called, they claim a vaccine, which is a fund that pays for the harms. Kind of like what Australia pays for the death tax now, the death response. The liability now is now permanent, going to be baked in. It's by rule, apparently. U.S. gives final clearance to COVID-19 shots for kids 5 to 11. And I want you to understand how heinous this is, because, again, the local jurisdiction is not CDC. It's your local health official, who also showed you that they're going to fold immediately without doing their due process, the communicable disease law that requires certain due process, certain things to happen, before they can even get here. That this is now being incorporated to shield these criminals. The pharmaceutical industrial complex, from liability, to attack your little ones, for an objective they have, as you see, at warp speed, new strategy includes pandemics, the military attack here, the Surgeon General allowing it, where they don't have any jurisdiction. We have evidence that the officials will kill innocent people to blow up bridges. They're going to destroy your little ones. They have no care about that because it's the bottom line. Otherwise, this couldn't have been done. U.S. health officials on Tuesday gave the final sign-off to Pfizer's kid-sized COVID-19 shot. Not a vaccine there, except a major expansion of the nation's vaccination program. Now, let's understand as well, it may be available, but it's not necessarily, again, mandated. And so if you look very carefully, CDC is not saying anything about its mandate. You'll notice very carefully how they're being coy about how that is not. It's just added to a schedule that the states can pick up and make mandatory. And so all you all that want to keep your little ones in school, but don't want to have this added, you're going to have to get vocal local. As I was telling in the Twitter to DeSantis, why don't you just follow the communicable disease law? And instead of just stopping this for the time you're in office, how about if you stop it permanently by explaining to people what the standard was supposed to be, explaining that the non-fraudulent agency was never declared, and explaining that until that happens, none of this can happen. Nothing the CDC says can fall down onto your little ones. Understand as well, after this declaration, I think Pfizer came out to say that their clot shot is going to now cost $110. Kind of like what they did with the environment, the electrical vehicles. There was a subsidy given, tax subsidy given for the people who bought electric vehicles of $7,500, and within the week, the manufacturers are raising their prices $8,500 for the same rig. In other words, this is like money laundering to industry through your tax system. Remember that IRS going through third parties to get you at the early part of this broadcast? Yeah, that system. This one they couldn't shake because they're not supposed to go after third parties to get you. That's violation of due process on its face from what I can tell. But these third-party liabilities to you, they now make it, they give liability protection for something that could not be available to the local official, and no local official has told you that. In dereliction of their duty, that requires that they tell you, each one of you, that. Not as a group, individually, because each one of you is supposed to be the infectious principle upon which they would act once they have determined you are with carrying an infectious agent. 5 to 11. It's going to be on your schedules to go to school. I can only suggest again, as I said early on, I hope this shakes people from allowing their kids to, their little goats, to go to school and they start doing the homeschooling. Start getting in your churches and start making schools through your churches if you have to, because that's the only place I know that people get together that have this mind that would be separate from the system that would be able to educate their own. I don't know of many other institutions in this country that people would readily pull together with quickly in order to get this done, at least to do that quickly. CDC site, CDC recommends COVID vaccines for young children. There is no such thing as a COVID-19 vaccine. That's a symptom, COVID-19. You'll find missing that they don't talk about SARS-CoV-2 anymore. And that, as well, is novel. It was invented. So it's not organic. It cannot be a part of a vaccine. The mitigation of that, or the prevention, or the control, cannot be. Certainly cannot be symptoms that they stop. And they certainly have not shown that they can. But the CDC recommends COVID-19 vaccines for young children. Is a recommendation, again, it's not mandatory, because the local authority is your state health official. Well, I don't even want to read, I could read that, I'm reading this stuff as I'm talking to you. This is just propaganda. They are telling you they're coming after your parents, and caregivers can now get their children 6 months through 5 years of age vaccinated with Pfizer, BioNTech, or Moderna vaccines to better protect them from COVID-19. That's not the infectious agent. That's a set of symptoms. And we found out that it doesn't stop those symptoms even. It doesn't even stop the symptoms. In fact, they didn't check transmissibility, so it has no control, and there is no test, so they can't even know what they're testing for, folks. And yet this CDC, again, brokers of pharma, the P's are silent, pharma, have now invoked this upon your little ones. And I told you this was going to be the worst attack that you'd ever suffer, and it's going to be on health, which is one of the more powerful things the government has, and yet I told you how you were going to avoid it. You will be able to avoid that. And the problem will be, not many of you will, and it'll look like you're wrong. And they'll be able to pick you off. You won't have the spirit of Bastille as a population. And this isn't even going to arm. See, this is all doing due process stuff. You write your letters. You make your challenges. As we see, and find interesting stories pop up, this comes as a sensation, but if you listen very carefully to what they're doing, you're finding out universities have been involved. They're continually being involved. They have the bioweapons labs in their universities, your academia. That's climate change. That's sustainable development. That's pandemics. That's all that stuff that I've been telling you about. Americans created a cool new virus is 80% mortality guaranteed for U.S. As we see, the Boston University created, they say, a new strain of COVID-19 in efforts to examine the role of a specific protein associated with the Omicron, the moronic variant. The moronic variant is a highly transmissible. Even in those who have been fully vaccinated, they say, but we found out they didn't test for transmissibility. And so this becomes an interesting story, because what Boston was doing was actually rehybridizing the variant with the so-called original, this is where you start hearing about them talking about SARS-CoV-2 and not COVID-19, but COVID, which is the common cold. They also talk about how they talked to testing it on mice. This becomes critical because this whole thing was set up on some mice originally. This brings, though, and exposes the mice may be a problem. And it shows us, when we read other stories, how the bar is not set. It's movable. Just like their epidemiological responses. It's cooking the books. The animal model that was used was a particular type of mouse that is highly susceptible, and 80 to 100% of the infected mice succumb to the disease from the original strain, the so-called Washington strain. That's the one that was from the flyer that came in the airplane from Washington State, not Washington, D.C. And Boston University Ronald B. Corley said on the statement Tuesday, whereas the moronic virus, he says Omicron, causes a very mild disease in these animals. What they did is they re-hybridized, if you will, the sequence to see what its effect would be. And it only killed 80%, but notice the trick. To mice that were highly susceptible, when you start and now figure out that they could use mice that may or may not be or have a questionable susceptibility and not something that's a standardization, then you also know how they did the base layer of cooking the books. Did they use mice that were susceptible or mice that were not? Are you a mouse or are you not? They admit mouse models are not man models. Where was the objective basis here? But in this report, they are identifying the Washington State as the SARS-CoV-2 virus strain. That is a fraudulent statement. There is no such organic strain. It was invented in 2003 by the patents, by the CDC holds, as a modification of a prior virus. But it wasn't a virus. It's a synthetic. Remember the Myriad case. You can't do a natural invention, but you can do a synthetic invention. As long as a technician can do it in a lab, that is lawful to patent. What did the Boston University do? That's what they did. They made it in a lab. Nothing organic. They took a sequence, the protein they're talking about, they want to see how that works. See, they don't know. They're still trying to figure out how to justify what they're doing. They make it sound like they're making this to make things better. Well, there can't be a make it better because they don't have an organic thing that they're dealing with. They can make it better by stop making poisons and chemical weapons. That's how they make it better. So their whole objection was that they didn't make this thing 80% more virulent. They're actually trying to figure out, well, if they combine the latest one with the new one, what would happen? And they use specialized mice to do it. Highly susceptible. How can we look at that? How is that objective science? I don't even see how you get that as objective science. So the whole complaint was that this story was that they were making new variant. Well, they didn't make a new strain. It's essentially how they do what they do when they're looking for the viability of a vaccine. You find the strain, you combine it with other things, and you see what the response is going to be to the combination of things that you're dealing with, as you test out what you're doing when a vaccine is to be developed. In other words, they're still trying to do that right here. It's right here in the news if we understood what we were listening to. The ongoing fraud. The United States government runs the system by fear, intimidation, and dread. If you will be feared, intimidated, and dreaded, like the IRS likes to do. If you were going to find vaccines and we're going to be able to find some kind of test with things like COVID, that's the kind of work you do, says another director of medical ethics, Dr. Arthur Kaplan. When you're looking to go find a vaccine and you're looking to find the test, that's what you do. In other words, there is no vaccine and there is no test. Boston's looking. They didn't actually make a more virulent variant. No, they just did a hybrid, and they found mice susceptible to it died. just like the first mice susceptible to it died, that they passed off as something pandemic. We go, the stories are on and on about this thing. According to the scientists, I'll read one more here. According to the scientists, however, their chimeric virus is unlikely to be as deadly in humans as it was in the mice because the specific breed used in testing are more susceptible to severe COVID. Well, that's the severe common cold, COVID, not COVID-19. And this is chimeric? That can't be. There's nothing natural here. There's synthetic proteins that are assembled. Chimeric is an organism, two different organisms put together, organic organisms. The genetics of them put it together. This is not even chimeric. This is novel. The technician constructs this in a lab, as Myriad LLC case says and the Supreme Court found. So it's only here because it's susceptible. The mice are dying because they're susceptible. Are you a mouse? Are you susceptible? Well, if you aren't a mouse and you're not susceptible, then they're not working for you. They're not working for the mice. But they're still looking for a vaccine and they're still looking for the test. So there is no test and there is no the virus. How long has that hashtag been going? So the pandemics are one. The military is all hot to go on that. It's our way on the highway on this pandemic stuff. And you look at what the CDC did, World Globe, and the WHO did for promotion. And they also then, the military is involved with the climate change. Don't ask me why. The existential threat. No, they're the existential threat to us. They're other people, not these fraudulent stories. As I'm reminded last week from what I talked about an article that I did read before, but I want to touch it again, just to touch a little bit more. What's going on, and I only mentioned it for Kanukistan in this thing. We were now shifting to the other thing the military is involved with, pandemics, and now we're going to climate change. Nonsense. Fraud. Fear, intimidation, and dread. There was something going on in Winnipeg up in Kanukistan, and it was that Trudeau was installing weapons, armories, and interrogation rooms for Ministry of Climate Change. The Ministry of Climate Change. Talking about these climate police. And I want to touch a little bit about that, because it seems to be like almost far-fetched. But interestingly, the government comes out and denies it's as bad as they're saying. In other words, they agreed that's what they're doing. But the story came out that Trudeau is hiring climate police as Canada moves to a new neo-dictatorship. And I was advancing this story to you in Kanukistan. This is actually should be from everybody, but particularly for Kanukistan, they put this thing right in Winnipeg. That's the middle of your agriculture and right where your production is. And I was telling you, suggesting, learn your property rights. Learn, if you have them, to defend yourself. You learn what this underlying thing is about. The Environment and Climate Change Canada informs Canadians about protecting and conserving our natural heritage, ensuring a clean, safe, and sustainable environment for present and future generations. Is sustainable development speak? Is climate change speak? Has nothing to do with anything you need to know. It has to do with impositions outside of you, foreign impositions that's going to take and control your life. Pandemics and climate change. Part of this agenda. This is not a facade. This is not a story. Actually, I'm going to give a link here. It was Glenn Beck. Actually, he announces this back in September. I didn't pick up on it till the end of the month in September. He picks it up. I want to give you he nails the condition on the head weeks before I even heard about it. The question was this valid? Was this conspiracy theory? Then the government, we have proof that it's not. Environment Canada says online reports of climate police are false, and yet they don't deny. They just don't like how it's being characterized. You're going to have to read this in the story. The false record needs to be set straight, yet they don't say it doesn't exist. They just don't like how it's being characterized. In fact, this thing does exist. It is going in, and it is about climate change, and it's got an armory, it's got silent rooms, it's got environmental control rooms, it's got a whole headquarters set up. And I want to remind you that one way you're going to fight this is they're putting climate change in, yet there is no climate change. There's no climate crisis. I got a link to Rumble. I've spoken to Tom Harris. He'll give you the counter argument here, the counterproduction, he'll show you, and I'll give it to you another link where you can get some of the documents that the non-governmental organization for this study against the IPCC has been going on for decades, can give you thousands of pages of information that you can help to defend yourself against the climate certainty by saying these thousands of pages of documents that show other scientists say that it isn't a crisis, that it's actually a fraud, can counter the consensus that was brought on and say, at least this is science. You can't have a large thousands and thousands of scientists saying it doesn't exist and thousands saying it is and say the science is settled, that you're going to probably need to know. Because as we had Michael Mann made climate change. He man-made climate change. He attacked a gentleman named Tim Ball. And my respect to Tim Ball for being attacked and fighting back against Michael Mann. But who, Tim Ball has died, and I have a little link of someone talking to him. And this gentleman is very good, Dr. Tim Robson, who has high regard for Tim Ball, and I do too, another warrior out there to try and balance this problem, at least start to balance it back. You may take help from these people against what's going on in Kanukistan to bring this on and to counter things like what Michael Mann made, climate change with his hockey stick and all that. You've got now resources, thousands and thousands of resources to help counter when they come against you in your production in Kanukistan and everywhere, really. Get these links that you are going to have a word in your mouth, the thing I keep telling you, make a word in your mouth so that you get understand that you're not helpless and they cannot run us over so well. Hope something I said today will inspire you to defend yourself. This is it really is a war, and take action to protect, become the spirit of Bastille wherever you live, but do it with a plan so you know your own future. You don't take it off course by someone who's got the plan before you got there. I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips for Nature Willing.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
And a whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.